Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
I made a reference yesterday that I had gone out with the Civil Air Patrol, and I received an invitation. This is by invitation. The advanced ground team said, "Chaplain, we'd like you to travel with us today." And I said, "Oh, okay. I guess it's because of their great respect that they have of my search and rescue capabilities." Or maybe they just felt sorry for me sitting over there in the corner or whatever, trying to get my computer to work. They said, "We need to get the chaplain out of here before he goes postal on us. So let's take him with us." And it's interesting because there are a lot of ground teams, but there's only one advanced ground team. And so we were going out, and it was interesting as we're driving down the road to hear the chatter. You know, they're really proud of their accomplishments and all that they're able to do. And as I made reference to before, we left around 11, and by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we still hadn't found what we'd been sent out to find. And we, of course, were able to blame it on inferior equipment. It's amazing how during the course of the day, it went to how good we are to how bad the equipment is. All right, because, of course, it couldn't be us, could it? And I just really, when I was going out towards the van to ride along with these guys, I really felt kind of proud because, hey, this is supposed to be the advanced group. These are the creme de la creme, all right, of all of the search and rescue teams. And if anybody needs the job done right, these are the people that you would call on. Not yesterday, but and normally it was. And today we're going to be looking at an incident in the life of our friend Job. And as I said last week, Job is a very interesting character in Scripture. The book itself is a narrative of what happened even before Abraham, before Moses, before all of those people. This is one of the earliest narratives that we have in the Word of God. And so I'm going to read along in the Bible, Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. If you have your Bibles open, you can follow along in your Bible. If not, I have it in the bulletin. It's a little bit easier to read. As a matter of fact, I found that I've gotten lazy now. I go ahead and read it myself out of the bulletin after I put it in there. And so beginning in Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of men came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered to the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But Put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Now there is this scene that is taking place in heaven. And it was a special occasion, I guess. I don't know what God's calendar is. He's never given me a peek at his calendar of events. You know, here at the Grand Parkway, there's a calendar that is published every month. And you kind of get an idea of what's going on, when, what movies they're showing in the theater or whatever. I don't know if God has the same kind of thing. But this is definitely a special event that's going on in heaven. And it says, there was a day, and this is an appointed time. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And the sons of God, you'll see this over and over again in the Old Testament, is a way of saying God's non-human creation. In other words, the angels. Whether they are good angels or bad angels. This was a special occasion, and they all came to present themselves before the Lord. Amen. This is a show of submission. This is a show of respect. This is a show that these spiritual beings recognize that there is one boss. There is one God in heaven. And I kind of get from the gist of this that Satan is kind of rankled about having to be there. I kind of get the idea that he wouldn't be there if he didn't have to be. Because he's got a bad attitude. And so as Satan comes before the Lord, kind of like I envision one of these reception lines where you have the king and the queen and the royal family and all this, and the people move through the line and they're shaking hands and curtsying and bowing and all of these things. And so you have this line of angelic beings that are moving through the throne room of God. And now it's Satan's turn. And, you know, God is very cordial with Satan. He doesn't have to be hateful. He's very cordial with him. He says, well, what you been up to? You know, where do you come from? It's just, what you been up to, Satan? Just being very cordial with him. Then Satan answered the Lord, said, well, from roaming about on the earth and walking around it. Kind of like talking to a teenager, huh? Yeah, you're not going to get a straight answer. You know, and it's the same way here. You know, God's asking just a straightforward question, and Satan's saying, I've been out and about, you know, hanging with my buds, whatever. And God gets right to the point. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And at this point, what you see going on is God kind of rubbing Satan's nose on Job. Look at this, Satan, with all of your power, with everything that you've done, you have done nothing but bring havoc and ruin to earth. And here is my servant Job, and you can't turn him. There's nothing that you can do to keep him from living a righteous life. And Satan replies, and it's in verse 9, and it's almost like a sneer. I can almost hear it. Then Satan answered the Lord, well, does Job fear God for nothing? Just getting really nasty. Of course, God, Job fears you. Of course he lives in God. Look what you've done. You've made him the richest man in the East. Everything he puts his hand to prospers. He's got land. He's got animals. He has family. He has servants. He has it all. Of course, Job serves you. And you see, this is a challenge to God. Because Satan is saying the only reason that there's one person on the face of this earth that serves you, God, is because you've bought him off. You have just blessed him and you won't let my angels get close to him. As a matter of fact, it says right here in verse 10, have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? What does that mean? You'll hear us pray occasionally, God set a hedge of angels about whoever we're praying for. Because God is in a habit of sending His angels to protect those that He loves.
Amen.
Amen? Anybody here in this room that God loves? Amen? Okay, and you can rest assured that if not now, then most definitely in times past, He has placed a hedge of angels about you when Satan wanted to rush in and crush you. Amen? And so God has protected Job from every onslaught of the enemy. And Satan is just absolutely beside himself. He wants this rich guy. He wants this guy that prays all the time. Oh, he offers, you know, burnt offerings every day. I'm sick to death of this Job. Man, if I could get my demonic claws around him, I would destroy him in a minute. And here's God the Father just rubbing my nose in this guy. Yeah, I'd like to destroy him, God, but I can't. You won't let me near him. And I want you to see what God does here. He says, put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. Or that's what Satan says. And he will surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand upon him. And what we see here, when I first read this as a young person, I got to thinking, man, what did Job do to get God mad at him? Because basically, Job at this point is handed over to Satan. God said, you have power over everything in Job's life, just don't touch his body. You can't touch him, but you can touch everything else. And as a young person, I had a real problem with this. But as I grew a little bit in the Lord, I came to realize something. And this is what I want you to walk away with today. Is that of all the people on the face of the earth, God saw one man who he could trust to do the right thing. Because did not God know what would happen to Job once he released him into the power of Satan? Sure he did. God knows everything. Everything that has happened, everything that is happening, everything that could be happening, that will happen. God, knowing this, released Job into the power of Satan, knowing that Job is able to stand. And in medieval terms, Job became God's champion. Is there someone who will fight for me? And God said, there is one who can stand, and it's Job. And so, all that he has, I put in your power, only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. And we're going to get into what happened. Most of us know the story of Job. But what I want us to think about this morning is that when there is somebody in trouble, spiritual death kind of trouble, facing an eternity without Christ kind of trouble, when there's somebody who is in trouble, is there anyone in this room that God can say, I can trust this one to take care of it? When there's someone who's going to have to take a stand in this world, Is there anybody in this room that God can say, I can trust this person to do the right thing? Is there anyone in this room who could be God's champion? Now, does God need a champion? No. I mean, He's able to just, and it's done. He created the world, everything that we see, and everything that is unseen by the power of His lips. He doesn't need a champion. But He has formed us. Beginning, the Word says, back in our mother's womb, He has formed us. He's brought us through all the experience of our lives. And I doubt if there's anyone here who would raise their hand and say, Pastor, every experience that I've had in my life has been a great, enjoyable experience. Amen? We have all gone through difficult times. We have all suffered loss. We've all stood by to see things happen that we wish and we prayed wouldn't happen, but it happened anyhow. We've all been through the experiences of life. But when somebody is needed to intervene, to be that hero that God can use to step in to a situation and share His love and to share His message, the gospel of the kingdom, is there somebody in this room that God can depend upon? Now, I'm sure that if God were to go to Job just after Satan departs from the presence of the Lord down here in verse 12, I'm sure that if God were to go to Job and say, Job, I got a little job for you to do. I'm getting ready to send forth the most powerful created being in the universe, Satan, the fallen archangel. I've given him permission to come against you and everything that you have. I think if I were Job, I would be looking for a rock to crawl under. Amen? But God doesn't tell us when bad things are getting ready to happen. God doesn't explain to us why bad things are happening. As we will see the lament of Job as he's going through all that he's going through, all the time that he's going through this, God never once explains to him, Job, I'm not mad at you. It's just that you're the only one in the whole earth that I could depend upon to stand. And as the Word says, having done all, to stand. Amen? Amen? And so, as we continue in our study of Job, the lesson that I have for us today is, we're not always going to understand what's going on in our lives. We may never understand. There's a saying in the church, we'll understand in the sweet by and by, which kind of indicates that when we get to glory, God's going to explain it to us. Does the Bible ever promise that He's going to explain it to us? No. Is he under any obligation to explain it to us? No. I got news for you. When I finally make it to glory, I'm just going to be so excited to get there. Amen. I don't want any explanations. I just, Lord, thank you for letting me in. Amen. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for opening up the doors for this undeserving sinner. But one who loved Jesus and whom Jesus loved and died for. So we may never know why in this life that we go through the things that we go through. And I just want you to consider, as we do face the troubles and tribulations that the Word promises that we'll go through, that just maybe, think of this, just maybe, God is calling on you to be His champion. Maybe once again the sons of God have assembled before the throne of God. And once again, God says, "Hey, Satan, how's it going? What you been up to?" And Satan once again gives a flippant answer. And God comes right back and said, "Have you considered my servant, Bob, Richard, Joy, Grace, Hazel? Have you considered my servant? Have you thought about them? How that there was no one like them on the earth, blameless and upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. We just may have been called upon by God to be His champion.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? And just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.